Hey, everybody. Welcome to another episode of Pretty Messed Up, iHeartRadio podcast. I'm AJ McLean, and I'm looking at the gorgeous, stunning, not you this time, Renee.
I know.
Cher Bear herself, Miss Cheryl Burke.
Yeah.
Yay, Cheryl.
Cher Bear.
Loving Cher Bear.
And now I'm looking at the handsome and yet somewhat distinguished and gorgeous Renee Elizondo.
Hello.
What's up, buddy?
Good, good, good. Love being here with you guys. I got to tell you.
Yeah, man. You know.
We love you. I seriously, whenever I'm like stressing out, I think of your voice.
Oh, my God.
Thank you. It's taken in so many different ways.
Totally. No, but not like that.
Only
more
one
like a
way.
Zen type.
Okay. Yeah. You know.
Only one way to take
yeah,
it.
Yeah. Well, so listen, you know, first of all, I just want to say thank you to everyone that has subscribed to the podcast. Thank you so
yes.
much.
Thank you.
Make sure you give us 5 stars. Pretty, pretty please.
Or whatever you think we deserve.
Yeah,
don't
you know, if
pressure
it's one,
them, AJ.
One or two is fine as well.
No,
that's
I think
fine.
5 is the only option on there.
Yeah, I think, yeah. Let's just shoot for 5. Shoot for the stars. Why not? speaking of shooting for the stars, no pun intended, but tonight was surreal.
Amazing.
It was a great night. For myself and Cher Bear. It's funny and it's very ironic because when we were in rehearsals doing some like last minute little audio deals and whatnot to go along with our package, one of the things that was said, Cheryl said to me, okay, if we get a single nine, just one, she will join the BSB Army officially and be a 100 million percent on board Backstreet Boys fan. So, not only did
we
get
one. Three 9s.
We got 3 9s tonight, wow. Which is.
Now I'm stuck. I'm kidding.
I know. Yo, you are definitely
well,
stuck.
The BSB Army.
It would be my honor, seriously, and privilege to be a part of your army of Backstreet Boys fans.
They're strong.
They are strong.
They're strong and they're
very
international.
Loyal.
Yeah,
yes.
International.
They are extremely loyal.
You yeah. also got some fans I see from Brazil, and they're like, we wish you would have done a Brazilian samba. I wish that I can actually learn how to do a Brazilian samba. I don't really know how.
So there is such a thing, apparently. Okay.
There is. There's a way of like doing a bachucada, which is like that, you know, at the end when we
yeah.
did a version of that. So there's a way of doing it the Brazilian way.
Is a bachucada what I call the fuga de chao? Is that the same thing or is it
no,
or is something else?
Two okay. different things. And that's okay. called a botafogo.
Yeah, a botafogo.
So fuga de chao, is that no. that Brazilian
that's
restaurant?
That's that restaurant where they come around with
chow.
Meat
fuga
on a stick.
Chow. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so how many sambas are there?
What do you mean?
You said there's a Brazilian zamba?
There's only two.
Two.
There's the one that we have made up in the ballroom world, and then there's where it originally came from in Brazil. From Brazil.
Gotcha.
Ah. Fun facts with Cheryl Burke. Thank
right?
you for joining.
Just taught you something. Again.
Nice little FF, a fun fact, if you will. yeah, so, okay, you know, I was a little bit bummed. Well, not a little bit bummed. Let me just say I was a lot bummed that my boy Vernon
oh,
went home tonight.
I know.
Vernon, I'm so sorry, bro. I didn't get a chance to say goodbye to you, but I know that we will stay in touch and hopefully do some movies together. And he was the sweetest, sweetest man. I was shocked to see who was in the bottom two, period.
Well, normally football players don't leave this early on in the competition. So that's a shock in itself, right?
Yeah.
Like normally you either have a football player who is making the final or at least the semifinal, not
right. and then after,
going home midway.
And then after Johnny's amazing score last week, and then I know tonight.
But this is what I say to you every time. So it's a clean
crazy.
Slate. It's actually a clean slate. It doesn't even matter.
I could not believe you more now. I mean, it was,
but
I was shocked.
It's not a clean slate as far as the memories of the judges go. I mean,
right.
they still know what to compare. You're being compared to yourself. There's no yeah. other way on this competition.
So let me ask you guys. Let me ask you guys. At this stage, what's been the biggest shocker? I'm just curious, as a fan, like who has made it further, or who was out sooner than you guys expected? Vernon.
Vernon was a shock,
yeah.
definitely.
Yeah. Jesse, a little bit.
Yeah, because both Jesse and Vernon, per the judges' comments, they said to them both that they were improving every week. They were, you know, slow and steady. And so both of those were a bit of a shock, I think, to everybody.
But this proves that it's the journey. It's these packages that air before your dance that make people either want to ride along or right. not.
Wow. Completely. Because, you know, you and I have talked about this, Cheryl, is that it's, yes, it's about, this is a dancing show, sure. But at the epicenter of this, it's not really only about the dancing.
Yeah.
It is about the journey. It's yeah. about discovering and whether you're discovering more about yourself or you're laying out more of yourself for America to really see who you really are. Because a lot of the people that are on these shows, you know them from TV or from politics or from music, and that's all that you know. You don't know right. the in-depth.
But you want, I mean, I've also told you from the beginning to be vulnerable. Like, you have to be able to show that side of you because you're walking into a world that is not your world. And so for, it doesn't matter what you do as far as the celebrities go, it's about how you live up to the challenge of becoming a ballroom dancer.
Absolutely.
There's a question that I've been thinking about, Cheryl. Do you know, like, when people dog sit and they get attached to the dog?
Yes, like, I mean, I'm not sitting, but yes, I
do.
Am
you
to my
do
dog.
You have to keep yourself from getting too attached to
totally.
The dancer, right?
I because used to you do know... that in relationships.
Yeah, you and me both. It was like, I'm miserable, but I'm so attached to you, totally. I can't let you go. You treat me yeah. like crap, but that's okay.
Totally. Yep.
Yeah, but that was back in the days of not really having much self worth, and that's
sorry, Renee. Go ahead.
Changed.
No. That I think you got to the question, which was, do you end up finding yourself getting attached to the dancer in a dancer kind of way?
And it then depends on sometimes yes, sometimes absolutely not. I can't not wait to get eliminated.
Yeah.
Just kidding. I'm kidding. Oh. No, of course it's never. But it's never. You know, it's very rare that you bond, right, on a different level, sure. knowing that you guys are going to be friends afterwards. Like, I can say that about Jack Osborne and Emmett Smith, you know, but, like, still, like, Emmett was more of, like, a older brother figure than anything. Jack was just, like, a buddy, like me and AJ, you know, yeah. but that's 3 out of 23 partners I've had.
Hey, buddy.
So, also... You and AJ, I think you guys have to work through a lot of challenges, right? I mean,
oh my God, every week.
Yeah, it's well, like you said, it's different every week. When you walk into a new dance, it's a clean slate. It's like learning how to walk again. I feel like freaking Bambi. And it's, but you know what?
But you need to start finding patterns so we don't go through
well,
the Bambi
no,
process.
I want to follow the same pattern that I did this week, which you're the
right.
one that hit the nail on the head.
So I basically said to him right after we danced, I'm like, so what worked this week as far as our workload goes, you know? So I said to him, maybe, I think it was like the reverse psychology of me saying how challenging the samba is and how it's hard not to look awkward, especially for the celebrity men. And I think he already loved the song, so that obviously helps. Yeah. And then on top of it, I think we just didn't want another hard week like the waltz the previous yep. week. And so he came in with a different type of attitude into rehearsal and also with more of like a fire up his butt. So he wanted yeah. to learn this, and he learned it with energy as opposed to just dreading to learn it. There's two different ways, right?
Yeah,
like
you can
my
just
coach
go
would
through
always
the emotions
say this
and
to
that
me.
Doesn't work.
Yeah, well, that's why my coaches would get mad at me, would be because, like, I wouldn't turn it on until I would compete, and that's right. just too late. And I had to learn the hard way when I was younger, but obviously I snapped out of it. And I think it's important, like, what you do in the rehearsal space is exactly what you're going to execute on show night, and yep. you can just tell if someone's rehearsed or not.
Yeah, because if you're only kind of half-assing it when you're in rehearsal, you're basically building up bad habits, and... You know, obviously until you know the
but
footwork.
But AJ, because you're a boy bander, sometimes you do half-ass it in a nice way.
Yeah,
I'm
no,
being
no,
very
listen.
Respectful.
That's how I've always done it. Like, right, like when we get to production rehearsals, which is usually like a week or two before we're going to go live, is when I go full out. But when we're learning everything, because we're in there for 8 hours a day, I'm like, I'm not going to kill myself. I'm going to learn it. I'm going to get it in my body.
No, we need
I'm
you to kill yourself.
But... we have less than half of that time every day. Yeah. You know what I mean? And
well, we actually only have until Thursday because we have to shoot these wides.
Learn, really? That's it. We have 2 days.
Yep.
Tuesday, Wednesday, that's it. And then it's the wide. And, you know, so yeah, no, I'm definitely going to bring what I brought this week into, or now last week, I guess you could say, I'm going to bring it into this week with the same attitude of just, I want to learn. I want to learn.
Or you should just go into it like, we don't know what's going to happen this week. We're just taking this one day at a time.
Meh. I'll just go in meh.
I like the approach of just putting a little extra Cholula on there.
Yeah, you got to put a little extra sauce on the taco.
Well, it's now past halfway of the competition. So now it sucks in a way that you got three nines because there's only one way to go or one down.
Or we are lucky enough to have a back-to-back like we did the last 2 weeks, which was eights and eights. But again,
we should aim for 110.
I like that.
Let's manifest for 110.
That means you're perfection.
What is that? So what's the new? So we got three nines. Now you're a diehard Backstreet Boy fan. You're part of the BSB Army. If we get 110, now what?
Now you pay me.
You're
welcome.
Maybe I can borrow
like
one of.
I would like some tip.
I can borrow one of Matt's iguanas. For like a
no
couple
way,
days.
Matt would never let you borrow an borrow how an iguana. Is,
yeah, just borrow it for my kids to play with or whatever. I don't know.
You
that
can
would be
maybe
bad.
Borrow a tortoise.
Oh, a tortoise would be cool.
So Cheryl,
how about one of his bearded dragons? Just kidding. What?
That's cool.
So Cheryl, going from student to teacher, right? Do you find yourself kind of at times emulating whoever your most influential teacher was?
I'm totally him.
Do you ever stop? You know, like once in a while, AJ and I will say, "Oh my God, I sound like my dad."
Yeah.
Oh my God,
yes.
I sound like my mom. Do you go
I'm between
through that?
My mother and my dance coach, and those two are fierce.
Yeah, I'm 100% my mother. My wife said this to me last night, and I was it wasn't last night. It was probably about 5 days ago when I sat down to write out my steps. Right. And I'm sitting down on the couch and all I did was just cross my legs and I was writing, but I had my glasses on and she starts laughing. I'm like, what is so funny? She goes, oh my God, you are your mother. And I'm like, what am I doing? That's my mom. She's like, I don't know. It's just every bit of your head. It's sorry, microphone. It's just like, I guess it was my energy or something. I don't know, but I am definitely.
Maybe it's the crossing of the legs and the way you're writing.
I do that anyways. Like, that's got nothing to do with my mom. But
so tell me about writing your steps.
Written his steps. And mind you, I'm the one choreographing it. I still write it down.
Explain that to me.
I've only done it twice.
Yeah.
Okay. And both times
great.
I did it.
Yeah.
I basically didn't really miss a step. I did it for the quick step and I did it for the samba. And it's
you did it for the waltz too.
I did do it for the waltz, which.
But not as a detailed.
No. But it's that kind of like, it's like memorizing lines.
Okay.
You know, the more you say it out loud, you know, repetition, right?
Right.
But when you write something out, somehow subconsciously you retain it.
So tell me how, because you know, I used to dance professionally, but I've never written anything down.
No, dude.
What do you literally write?
No,
tell me
so
what.
So like I would write, okay.
So his main issue is transferring his weight from foot to foot, fully transferring his weight. So we're trying to fill out that music. And that's like something that, let's say, Neve has over AJ is the agility and moving and transferring his weight from foot to foot. But what tends to happen is when AJ dances with me, he tends to dance between 2 feet, which makes him look stiff and stuck.
Okay. So I'm still dying to know how it would look on the page.
He writes it down. Let's say it's forward, side, back. Then he has to underneath it write down RLR, right, left,
or,
right.
Or the way I did this particular dance, I did it with right and left and also counts because there's a way to count the samba. It's like one and two. And
I got to check that count.
What is it? When we do the first slingshot, what would that count
What's
be?
The counts? What's the counts?
So let's see. 5, 6, 7, 8. 1, 2, 3, 4.
And is equals a half beat as a quarter beat.
But literally, we're getting scientific here.
It really helps.
Yeah, that's crazy.
I mean, it took 2 pages for this routine.
So you write out your steps to exactly. where up here, even without you moving.
Yes.
You get it in your head.
Yes. Because you know what? We should be able to sit here and sing it together, basically.
That's amazing.
And be like,
guys.
Like we should be like bachucada, 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 botafogo, slingshot, one,
fuga de
a two,
fuga de
right,
chow.
Left, right.
you know, I have
Benihana, Benihana. What?
Yeah. Oh wait, Chriselle's here, you guys.
Oh, well, okay, you guys, we're going to take a quick little break, and when we come back, we have a very special guest, one of our partners in crime on Dancing with the Stars, Miss
Beautiful woman.
Staus, and we'll be right back with Chriselle, so tune in, y'all.
How come I don't see her?
Because she's not in yet.
Oh.
She's in the waiting room. Rose gold iPhone? Sounds about right. But is it rose gold? That's the question.
I love rose gold. I'm obsessed.
Like all dark my whole way.
You don't? She's at a nightclub.
No.
Where are you? Oh,
there,
there
you
are.
This is the most haphazard.
Is she in a limo?
Wait, where?
I also can't hear them. Oh, I need it.
Where are you, darling?
Where are you, Chriselle? Can she hear us?
How about that? Okay.
You still sound very muted. I just want to know where she is right now because it looks like hella fun.
Love her. I freaking love her.
Best podcast ever.
Ever. It's amazing.
And she's eating.
She's definitely at a sushi bar.
Yeah, she's at a sushi bar for sure.
Okay, I'm going to call Gleb, but Gleb is with Chriselle. One second. So
I'm
going to
text Vernon
right
and tell him how bummed I am. He's gone. So I'm very bummed.
Oh, he just ignored my call. Honestly, I'm trying.
Do you want me to try to see about getting Vernon?
Oh, that would be interesting. That would be.
Let me.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Good.
And
let's
I'll just
make
say,
him
like,
feel
normally,
good. You know?
He's calling in right now, guys.
By the way, I thought it was his best dance tonight. So
did I. Honest to God. I really did.
Oh.
Hey.
What's up, buddy?
Hey,
you got to turn your camera on, buddy.
Hello.
There you are. There's that handsome face.
Look at that handsome punim right there.
Welcome, welcome.
Welcome, buddy. Thanks for hopping on, man. I really, really appreciate it, dude. We all do.
Can
yes,
we first
we
just
definitely
say
do. Last minute, especially.
Yes.
Yeah, no problem. No problem. Thanks for having me.
Can we say how bummed you guys are?
Yeah, dude. Like, yes. Both me and Cheryl are both super freaking bummed that you're going home, like, not okay. And your package made me cry. Tonight,
oh my God! We were watching because like we could barely see right where we're sitting. We could barely see the screens right when they air the package, and then all of a sudden I'm just stretching, and then I turn, and poor AJ is crying.
Because like you're dedicating this to your grandfather.
Beautiful. It was
and,
beautiful.
You know, for me, my grandparents, mainly my grandmother, was everything to me. I mean, she took me to every audition. She picked me up from school every day. Like, she was everything to me. And she was actually a singer and a great piano player, but had stage fright. So she never pursued any kind of career. But I felt this really, like, you and I have bonded this whole time anyways. But, like, this really, like, hit fucking home for me. So, and I thought this was your best dance.
I thought
dance
it was your
yet.
Best dance, Vernon,
seriously.
By far.
Oh, I appreciate it. Thank you. Yes. I appreciate that.
How are you feeling?
You know, I feel good. I'm really going to miss bonding with Pita. She was amazing. You know, I had to shed a few tears when we were doing our interview because I'm going to miss her. You know how it is. You create cultivate a relationship and, you know, it's something you get used to.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. It's like an everyday thing. It's 7 days a week for the last, it's been 9 weeks because of 3 weeks of training on top of the 6 weeks. And
yeah.
And then you're like, then what? Then what's happening? So, I mean, did you expect anything or were you, how were you feeling? Like, how did you feel about your dance, your cha-cha?
I felt good. I felt really comfortable. I felt like I was out there and I wasn't thinking too much.
Mm-hmm.
And it was the first week where I really felt like that. Dancing is extremely hard. And, you know, I have so much respect to every dancer, especially ballroom dancing. It's quite the challenge.
Mm-hmm.
It takes a lot of work.
Yes, it does. And even though I have, you know, a form of dance background, it's still hard as crap for me. Like,
it's almost like goes against, I keep saying, like, I wonder if it's easier because I, you know, I dance with a lot of athletes and, you know, I've had my share of football players, basketball players, you name it, after being on for like 23 seasons. But I find that when people I have previous dance experience, it actually can almost work against them more than for them. Because ballroom's so different, right? Just because you can dance hip hop or at a club, that does not mean you can ballroom dance.
Absolutely. Yeah, you're right.
100% true.
Vernon, so I'm Renee. We have a little podcast here that we've been doing. And I want to thank you for coming on. Sort of our theme of our podcast is sort of overcoming challenges. You know, all of us here have all kind of hit a bottom and had to turn things around. You know, so we talk about, honestly, anything and everything under the sun that's challenging. Is this, is Dancing with the Stars something for you that you'll always cherish? Or did it make you look deeper inside some of the challenges of learning new dances?
Oh, yeah, I'm going to have to say so. It's pretty high up there because I don't know how to dance. I was always the guy in the locker room who was watching the other players dance because I had no rhythm. I couldn't do anything.
If that doesn't look like, that's not what you showed
that's
us.
That's not
dance
what
for.
You showed everybody.
You definitely have rhythm.
You do.
So I'm gonna have to give Pizza all the credit because, I mean, she took me out of my comfort zone and it's been truly amazing.
Yeah.
Dude. Yeah, it's been truly amazing. So I wouldn't trade this journey for anything.
Yeah.
So I just got to talk football with you, man. Because, you know, first of all, I just want to say thank you again for being so gracious, taking a picture for one of my daughter's friends' parents, who is the biggest fan of yours. Like, she baked me a cake, like, the next day. I'm like, yeah, this is a sweet nice. Little deal right here. I like this. I was just curious because, like, I was never the biggest football fan years and years ago. I learned about football, no shit, from playing Xbox. I learned about players. I learned about teams. I learned what the word audible meant. I didn't know what the hell that meant. I was like, if someone said audible, I'm like, Gesundheit. What? I don't know what the hell you're talking about. But I got to say, like, what are your feelings of, like, the state of the NFL, where it's at now? Like, just all of – just the whole thing as a whole. Like, where – what are your feelings about the NFL right now?
I think it's a tough situation for players, not only for players, but their families as well, because, you know, these players have to worry about going in the locker room, doing their job, and going back home and transferring this virus to their families. So it's a tough place to be in. And a lot of these guys, they need the money. They need the job, you know, especially during this time. So my prayers go out to them, and I hope that this thing gets better because I just want everyone to be happy. I want everyone to be safe, and I want these guys to get what they deserve when it comes to their career.
Yeah, agreed, man. I mean, you know, it is interesting watching sports now and just watching how they're slowly trying to integrate people, fans, to come watch the shows, or not shows, but, you know, watch the actual game. Sorry, yeah.
But that's the thing. Mode. But see, I was just thinking, like, too, you guys have a team, so meaning more than two people. So it must be easier, I think, if we were to compare the two, because, like, we're performing, right? Whether it be football or ballroom. But, like, with me and one other person on the floor, I mean, I literally can hear the judges breathe down my neck after we, like, during our dance. You know, it's so, it actually is really challenging for me not to have an audience. I can't even imagine for football, but because you guys are loud with each other, I mean, do you think that it affects the players at all?
I do. I think it affects some of the players because you have some guys who feed off that energy. They need the energy come game day. Then you have some guys who just, hey, they're who they are, whether it's practice, whether it's game day, it doesn't matter. So I think it does have a huge effect on certain guys.
Yeah. How about you personally? How do you think it would affect you? Would you think you'd miss the crowd, or do you bring your own energy? How would that work with you if you were still playing, do you think?
I think I would miss the crowd. I think it definitely adds to the day. You know, that's what we play for. We play for the fans. We play for the excitement of that day, the fireworks, the fans yelling your name and going out there, people wearing your jersey. And yeah, I mean, you can't even look up and see your jersey at all.
Yeah. I mean, that's the same thing with me. Like when, you know, coming into this with no audience, when my bandmate Nick did the show 5 years ago, that place was packed, you know, and now coming in with no audience and me coming off of a sold out tour that we just finished, you know, it's so surreal. You know, because like you said, I feed off the energy too. I need to have, it's not even about external validation. It's just, no, I enjoy
it's noise,
the energy, you know, like that's what makes me want to keep my energy level at the highest degree. I just got to ask, I just got to ask really quick. Sorry. Who's your team this season? Who are you rooting for, brother? Come on.
You know what? I'm rooting for the Denver Broncos as well as the San Francisco 49ers.
Okay. Yeah, that's where I'm from, the Bay Area.
Okay. I'm married into a Steelers family, so I have no choice. I have to go Steelers. And two of my best friends, one of them is from he's from the Green Bay Area, so he made me an honorary owner because that team is owned by the fans.
Nice.
So I but here's the thing. When they come over, I'm a Green Bay fan. When they're not coming over to the house, I got to stick to my Steelers. Otherwise, I'm going to get yelled at by my wife.
My husband's playing fantasy football, so he's really into these football games at the moment. But I have a quick question for you. If you were to name something that PETA taught you during this journey that you've had together, what would that be?
He taught me to... I learned so much from PETA. I'm trying to figure out where should I start with this. She taught me that you can be a coach and you can also be nice. There's a lot of coaches out there who aren't perceived as nice coaches, but not only is she nice, she can be tough at times, but she does it in a way where you almost want to come through for her because she's so nice.
Yeah.
You know, she's firm. You know what I mean?
I totally get it. Yep.
Yeah. She's amazing.
Yeah, she really is. She's got so much. She's so patient, and that Australian accent. And she's just so self-deprecating that you got to love her for it. She just, like, doesn't take herself too seriously, even though she's perfect, right? Like, she's just, like, perfect body, perfect dance moves, perfect everything. And then, but then yet she's, like, not afraid to be a nerd sometimes, you know? I love her.
I can definitely relate to that, dude. I just on one end with, you know, Cheryl is that I always want to make her proud. You know, like, we are a team. You know, it's not just me going out there because Lord knows I couldn't do half this shit by myself at all. She could do it in her sleep, but we are a team, you know? So I can totally relate, you know, wanting to make your partner proud, you know, because
I'm proud of you too, AJ. So. But Vernon, what's next for you, honey? What's next?
Well, AJ can probably attest to this. We chatted about some projects that I have on the table as far as acting. I did 2 feature films already where I was.
Oh, nice.
I have like 3 shows that I'm working on right now. I'm doing a movie called Chariot in January. That's going to be a fun movie. Once we finish getting all the attachments together, it's going to be a big budget film.
That's awesome. Congratulations.
Yeah. So I'm just,
you're hustling. You're getting it. Great. That's great. Yeah. And so what
hopefully
do you do tomorrow? So
some of those with you. Hopefully.
Oh, yeah, there you
crossed.
Go.
Yeah.
That's. I said, what's next? So, like, what's tomorrow? What's tomorrow like for you in your schedule? Do you go straight into shooting or?
Oh, no, I'm going straight into meetings and talking about some concepts I have.
That's right.
So just meetings and, that's pretty much it. Meetings all day.
Well, we're going to miss you so much, Vernon. Yeah, seriously, it's not going to be the same. Your smile lights up the ballroom floor, seriously.
It really does, dude. Oh,
thank you. So cute. Thank you.
You are good, good people, man. Yeah. And I will definitely stay in touch, brother. And, dude, travel safe and be safe. And
thank you so much for doing this last minute.
Yeah, man.
Very gracious.
Thank you, guys. I appreciate it.
Don't be a stranger, brother. Love you, man.
Okay.
See you soon. Bye.
Very gracious.
Later, bro.
Cheers.
Okay, so Chrishell.
Hi.
Hi.
Hey. Chrishell.
Chrishell.
Hi, guys.
Welcome to the podcast.
Oh, my gosh. It's so nice to hear your voice. I want to be where you are. Where are you right now?
I am at Koi right now.
Oh, see, I was gonna guess that.
I wish you guys were here.
Koi, oh my god, that was my spot back in season two, like in whenever year that was, 2006. I used to go to Koi every night.
Oh my god, Cheryl, you burn the floor. I have no doubt.
Well, thank you so much for joining us, darling. It's AJ and Cheryl and my mentor of 20 years, Renee.
Welcome, welcome.
Yes.
Lauren, you guys are literally like the most, like, I mean, obviously the most iconic couple of the whole season.
Stop.
I'm honored that you want to even talk to me. Let's be honest. I love you guys so much. Every single week, you are the people that I can't wait to see what you're going to do. I'm intimidated and yet love you all so much at the same time.
Well,
you know what? I have to say, Chrishell, your dance tonight, I thought it was your best dance of the whole season.
Agreed.
And I literally got chills just watching you perform. I watched more of your dress rehearsal than I did the live show. But after like watching your package, you know, how did you feel? You know, were you listening to your package? Because I literally had to tell AJ right before we danced, I was like, stop listening to your package. I was like, focus, you know, because sometimes it can throw people off. How did you feel?
Right. Well, to be honest with you, it was weird. It was like one of those things where it was like, it's contemporary, right? You want to be emotionally connected to your dance, right?
Yeah.
And that
yeah.
will help you. But because of the element and the dramatic nature in which, you know, it's not like I'm talking about something where, you know, like something hurt my feelings. I mean, my parents died. So
I'm so sorry.
It's still really raw. You know, my mom just passed in July. And so it's just a very fresh wound that I haven't 100% like gotten to a place where I can just talk about.
No, totally.
In a way. So I just like, I was a little nervous, you know, to be honest with you. It's just very fresh. So I try to like kind of blend the two. Like I wanted to be emotionally connected. So it was like, I wasn't trying to block my ears,
no,
but I was also like really trying to stay connected with Gleb and like really be focused with him. So it was I had to find a middle ground, to be honest with you.
It was beautiful, by the way.
It really was.
It was because it meant more than just this dance, right? It was the emotion behind it, which was just really beautiful to watch. So,
and also, Chrishell, I just want to say to you that I admire you very, very much. Your story is remarkable. I know you shared a few weeks back about, you know, being homeless and living in a trailer and all these things. And now where you are today is such a great story to show young women out there that literally you can achieve anything that you put your mind to. And literally you can have the world. And you are one of those people that literally I admire so much because you are so strong.
Aww.
You're such an independent woman. And you set a great example for young ladies out there.
Being
a father of two young girls, we need more people like you telling your story, being as vulnerable as you've been, setting a great example for the younger generation that's out there right now. So hats off to you for that. I just wanted to get that.
Is that Gleb's voice that I hear right next to you? Is that Gleb?
That sounds like Gleb.
Yes, I'm at a table.
Let me have a couple words with that.
Gleb, okay, hold on one second. Cheryl wants to talk to you, boys.
Okay, you go first. Cheryl Buzz.
Gleb, I expect you to never ignore my call again the next time I call you, please.
It's Keo. It's not Gleb. First of all, don't talk to me like that.
It's Keo.
I love you, Keo. Keo, you're great. Keo, you're the best. Sorry. I'm so sorry. But tell your friend Gleb, because I know you're there with him, to never ignore my call again.
Okay, my girl, Shelburne.
Nope, not your girl. Nope. That's not what you do.
No, not my girl.
No, wait. Hold on, Gleb. Next time I call you, please don't press the ignore.
Answer.
I'm kidding. I'm kidding. I love you. I love you. I love you.
Listen, we went right after you, and I was, like, watching your whole dance,
AJ, you murdered that, like, shimmy, whatever you guys did. It was so insane. I was like, never seen such an intense samba. Like, and it was like, Cheryl, you did such a good, great job with the choreography. AJ,
thank you,
killed
man.
It.
Thank you, brother.
Every single step, it was so musical. It was so rhythmical. It was just, you know, it was like the most important thing in samba is like when you, like, your body takes over the music and you produce that rhythm through your body. And I was like, oh shit, we gotta go after them. That was great.
By the
that
way, though, awesome. Gleb, you guys were beautiful. It was your best dance this season for sure.
Yes, agreed.
No, thank you.
Really?
Yeah, thank you. I appreciate it.
Who just said really? Who said really? Keo just said really?
Oh, man.
Anyway.
Yeah, he said really. I don't know what he said really. But
oh, you guys are crazy. Really. I love you.
He
thanks for talking to us.
I love you too.
Yes.
Say hi to your fans here on Pretty Messed Up. You're on our podcast.
Yes, you're on a podcast right now, Pretty Messed Up. Say hi to all your fans.
Vote for us. Vote for Chriselle. 21523. Text Chriselle. DWTSvote.abc.com.
That's right. Get it. I love you. Let me talk to Chriselle again.
Don't edit it and cut it.
Yes, let's talk to Chriselle one more time, buddy. All right, man.
Okay.
Later, bro.
Oh my gosh. Hi, guys.
Hi.
I'm back.
Chriselle.
I didn't get to properly respond to the lovely words that AJ and Cheryl, you both said to me. Listen, I'm not a dancer. I just, like, really quickly, I just want to say, as someone that truly looks up to both of you so much in so many ways, I really appreciate that you say that because there are only, you know, like, it meant a lot tonight to just be emotionally connected and to do something for my mom and my dad and just to have you guys who I actually respect as actual dancers say that. It just means a lot. So thank you so much.
You're very welcome.
Oh, we love you so much, Chriselle. Seriously. And, you know, I always look forward. You have improved so much throughout the competition. Keep it going. Don't listen to any negativity because this show can sometimes, you know, it's like one big mind sometimes. So just keep looking forward, you know, and one step at a time. You got it, girl.
Chriselle,
thank you so much.
Chriselle, this is Renee. I'm one third of this podcast.
Yes, he is.
And we talk about, in our podcast, we talk about overcoming challenges and not giving up because all three of us, that's our story. We've all crashed and burned and pieced it back together. So as far as being in awe, we're in awe of you and your story. Are you living the dream right now? Are you pinching yourself?
100%. I feel like, you know, at this point, you know, I knew what my, you know, abilities were coming into this instead of surpassed the halfway point and really, you know, be going into Halloween week. And I love Halloween so much. It's my favorite holiday.
It's mine too.
I'm just, you know, I'm super grateful. There's not going to be one week, you know, there have been many weeks, to be honest with you, if I'm 100% honest with you guys, but you know, listen, I'm not a dancer, so I'm trying my best. I have heart, but I don't, you know, there's going to be certain things that I can't, you know, surpass other people in that just have natural ability.
But it's not just a dance competition, you know, it's exactly what you're doing, which is like being vulnerable and bringing people along on your journey. And it's beautiful.
Well, thank you so. It honestly means so much. I just like listen. I have a lot of heart. I want to be here as long as I can, but I, you know, I'm realistic about it. So I just, I'm grateful for every day that I'm here, and I take it day at a time. That's how I'm
exactly.
Dealing
with Amen,
that.
Sister. Yeah. Amen.
I have a friend who's got a crush on you. She goes, "Oh my God,
Chriselle,
yo."
Hello.
I'm sorry. Maybe it cut out. I'm so sorry. I'm trying to hear the rest of what you said. I apologize. I didn't hear the last half. Are you there?
Yes. Yes. We're still here, darling. Listen, we do have to let you go now, but I do want to say thank you so much.
Thank you, Chriselle. We love you.
Out. We love you.
Of course. I'm so sorry.
It's okay.
I'm sorry.
No, please. All good. No,
all
no,
good.
Please
and
don't
we got
apologize.
Gleb and Keo,
thank you for
so
following
like,
through
you know,
and still
a,
coming on. Yeah, coming on our podcast. We love you. You're going to be amazing next week. Can't wait to see your dance.
Thank you, guys. Yes. Of course.
Thank you, darling.
Course,
have a great night. Be safe.
Thank you, guys.
Bye.
Bye. Love you. Bye.
Thank you.
Okay, bye.
And that happened.
That was very 2020.
Let's just say, expect the unexpected on Pretty Messed Up.
Yes.
You know, but yes.
It reminded me of my days. Seriously, I used to go to Koi every single week after Monday and Tuesday nights back in the day. So this was taking it back down memory lane.
Gotta love it. Well, listen, guys, we're going to take a quick break. And then when we come back, we are going to check out a couple of your emails. We got inundated again with so many questions. And thank you guys for sending in these questions. So we'll be right back on iHeartRadio, Pretty Messed Up. All right, you guys, we are back on iHeartRadio, Pretty Messed Up podcast with myself, Cheryl Burke, and Renee Elizondo. I want to say thank you to my boy Vernon Davis for joining us tonight, as well as Chriselle Staus.
Yes, thank
and
you.
Gleb and Keo. It was like
and
a
Keo,
whole,
you guys, it, we had made it a DWTS night.
Oh my God, It was a full-on party live from Koi in Hollywood.
Actually.
Yes,
yeah,
it was.
Right?
So we got some questions from some of our listeners that we wanted to get to. So let's see who we got here. We have from Jenna. We will still see your craziness and sexiness on stage, or was that because you weren't sober? What? Will we?
Basically, she's asking you if you're still going to be sexy dancing around on stage or not because you weren't sober, or because you weren't. Do you understand?
I think I understand. Basically saying...
Will you still be sexy?
Will I still be sexy sober? Yes.
Sexier.
Now he's got samba sexy hips.
Sexier.
Yes.
Sober.
Sober sexy.
Sober is sexy. Sober is the new sexy.
Sober is the new sexy.
It is.
Yes.
It really is.
Let's be clear.
I think it looks good on me, and it looks good on
very
you,
good.
Cheryl, and it looks great
thank
on you.
You,
handsome. As you sit
three
there
sexy sobers,
like a
soberly
hey,
sexy.
Compared to the not-so-sexy, like drunk... Every night? Ugh.
Yeah.
Oh,
all
God.
Right, Renee. Oh, no. Sorry. This one's for you, Cher Bear. My first question is for Cheryl. What situations trigger or tempt you when you find yourself in those situations? What do you do?
Well, meaning like trigger as far as just emotionally trigger?
Oh,
we're going to go there.
Something physical that triggers you?
Yeah, so I used to have jealousy issues, right, and control issues, and I think a lot of that came from me using and also drinking a lot. I started to believe my own thoughts and reality and would make stuff up in my head. So as far as a trigger goes, you know, back then I wasn't able to control it that much, you know, and now that I've been sober, I've been able to work on myself and separate my thoughts as much as I can. I mean, it's still very challenging for me to do so, but now that feeling of like jealousy or comparison or like, how come this person has something that I don't, you know, has definitely faded quite a lot since I've been sober. So,
man, you're touching on really big subjects there.
No,
right?
I know. Sorry, I'm really deep.
No, but
I
seriously.
I think it's cool because what you said, like, it, I don't know why it, like, had me thinking what I did back in my relationships years ago was, and I'm just going to be really blunt, I would ask the girl I was dating every detail of their ex, down to penis size, how many times they'd have sex, all to compare myself.
It.
And then you know, whatever I could do to make myself feel like less than.
Hey,
you
Jay,
know what
do
I mean?
Do you remember when you told me, we won't mention names, but you told me, I asked and I said, don't ever ask.
You're like, why would you do that, dude?
It's like self-sabotage just because we know we're going to feel icky and like we're going to be jealous. It's almost like, why are we wanting to know this? It's really none of our business.
Exactly.
But you know that jealousy part, right? It cannot be fixed by manipulating our partner into doing exactly what we want them to do. It's impossible, right? Because even if they're standing right in front of you, you could start to imagine, wait, who are you thinking about?
Right.
There's
no but then you go crazy,
and then
right?
Because
it's like they may not even be thinking about this, but really you have to just love yourself.
That's, well, at the end of the day, that's it. I, you know, it all comes from a place I remember when I was really jealous and really insecure, it was like I would cheat on me if I could. That's how much totally. I hated myself, you
yes,
know?
I hear you.
That's hilarious, dude.
That's actually really funny. Yeah. I mean, it's not funny, but I
but
hear
no,
you.
Like, but it is funny. Oh, yeah. It's funny in a tragic way.
Okay. This is all. So this is a second question from Melissa, and I already know.
I'm gonna ask you the question because it's for you,
Cheryl's
AJ.
Cheryl's answered one of these parts of this question already.
Yes. I'm actually curious to hear your answer. So this is also from Melissa to AJ. If touring is a trigger temptation for you, have you already started to begin coming up with a game plan for the pending tour next year to continue on your path of sobriety during the tour? Good question.
Well,
Melissa.
Cheryl's answer is I shouldn't go on tour.
No.
I'm kidding.
No.
No. She,
that's
no,
not my answer.
She, no,
I
Cheryl
never said
and I
that.
Spoke about it. And, you know, there is something out there for a lot of addicts that are in the music business that travel that are called sober companions, you know, which is helpful. But at the same time, you know, in my mind, I don't really want to have a babysitter, number one. But
that's
if
your
I,
perception.
But I could tell you this much. If God willing, knock on wood, by the time we do go back on the road, I am still sober and I've worked my 12 steps and I get to my meetings every day and I talk to my sponsor every day, I think I will be great to go on the road. But here's the thing. I will fly out sober friends to come out and spend a couple weeks here and there with me. I will have my family out. And, you know, we talked about this right before the actual podcast started. There's meetings everywhere. All over mm-hmm. the world. So there's no excuse that if I can't catch my Zoom one, if I'm in a city, there's going to be a meeting. Make the time and go to a meeting.
And Cheryl, the truth is, if you want to be sober, you
yes,
could be
I
sober
know.
Anywhere in any corner of the world with any tribe under any sky. Yep.
But can you still get triggered though?
Well, here's the thing. If you're not working a program, right? If you're not doing the
like
stuff... If you're not doing the stuff that keeps you safe and protected, of course you're going to be triggered. But keep in mind, think of all the musicians that have gotten sober and toured the world or did, you know, stays over in Vegas and they don't relapse. Once you want this thing,
no,
honestly,
totally. 100%.
Once you want it, there is no such thing as...
There's no option.
You look at it, someone can offer you a drink. I think I've said this before. And it, to you, it's like, I don't miss suicidal depression. Thank you very much. I'm doing just fine. Yeah. It mm-hmm. doesn't look appealing when the champagne goes walking by. It just doesn't, you know, because you're enjoying your life now, finally. Yeah,
but I do believe you are who you hang out with still, you know, and I think there's nothing wrong with bringing, it's not a babysitter, like a sober companion.
You're
yeah,
absolutely,
you
look, yeah. you're absolutely right. As you get sober, stay sober, and you start to live a different life, you honestly stop wanting to hang out with people that aren't good for you.
Yeah, exactly.
You just, it's no longer appealing to you. Look, when I wanted to escape my own life, right, I would look for other people that are trying to escape their life, and I would be buddies with them, and our glue would be the drink and the drug. Once you no longer want to escape your own life, you find other people that don't want to escape their own life. So the allure of hanging out with what we call lower companions, it is no longer alluring anymore. It actually turns you off.
Let me rephrase the word babysitter, because that's the word I used to use. But mm-hmm. I would say, like, you know, I look up to people like Renee and my other sober friends that have 15, mm-hmm. 16 mm-hmm. years. They can go anywhere by themselves. Mm-hmm. And they're fine. Why? Because they continue to work a solid program. And like he said, because they want to stay sober.
Right.
You know, I got asked yesterday when I did my little GMA interview, the journalist just flat out said, so tomorrow, if you finish the show and da da da, and somebody asks you, hey, do you want a beer? What is your initial reaction? I said, no, thank you. I don't have to explain why. I just say
right.
no, thank you. You know
right.
what I mean? I have the ability and I have the power to, if I want to tell you why, I'll tell you why. But I don't need to, you know, air my dirty laundry to some random person that offers
no,
me a beer.
No, totally.
You know?
Totally.
They say no
okay,
is a
that
complete
makes sense.
Sentence.
Yeah,
sentence.
No is a complete sentence. Exactly.
Hey, just quickly, what are you doing over there, AJ? Look what you've done. You've opened up cabinetry.
Yeah, what are you doing?
Look at, he's opened up cabinetry. He's like
I know,
bouncing
really
back
weird.
And forth.
I didn't touch it.
Let's move on to Kelly. You want to read this, AJ?
Renee, this is you.
Renee, this is you.
Read Kelly's question.
Oh, where?
It's on your screen. Okay. Go to your thingamajigger for the
chats.
This is some serious technology going on here. From Kelly. I come from a line of alcoholics on my dad's side, including my dad. I have a self-admitted addictive personality, so I generally try to steer clear of drinking unless it's my birthday. My question is, do any of you have a family history and of drugs and alcohol, and did this affect your relationship with either of those things? If so, how?
My dad actually was an alcoholic, my real father, who passed away in 2018, March of 2018. And I just would be around alcohol when I was a little girl. Then they divorced, and then my mom made sure. My father was from New York, but basically, long story short, he was a very successful attorney in the Bay Area, then moved to Thailand to follow his passion, which was pussy. yes, he owned a bunch of strip clubs in Thailand, like literally just loved Asian women. And my mom made sure that I still developed a relationship with my father. So I would go and visit him every couple years with my mom and my mom's new husband at the time, my stepfather, Bob. And my dad would be constantly drinking. He wouldn't drink before 5 p.m. though, but he would only drink after 5 p.m. And he wouldn't be able to see us until 5 p.m. or later, because the alcohol, like, he was in such a bad mood if he wasn't drinking. Mm-hmm. And then I noticed as I was getting older that I started to be able to basically drink a lot without getting affected. I had like my dad's stamina, as they say. And we would bond over FaceTime and vodka a lot when we were there. And I do believe that my mom, on the other hand, no family history, but I do think I get my addictive personalities from my father.
I just want to go back to something you said. You said your stepdad's name is what?
Bob Robert.
Interesting fun fact. You know what my dad's name is?
Shut up. Your stepdad's Robert?
My real dad. My real dad's name is Bob.
Really?
Robert McLean. Yes. Bob McLean is my real dad. Robert's creepy. My uncle is an alcoholic. I don't know if he's sober or not. We haven't spoken in about 15 years, unfortunately. I do want to, at some point, rekindle a relationship with him. Because he was a lot like a dad to me when my dad left when I was 3. But, you know, I'm one of those skeptics out there that unless it's medically proven that it's a genetic disposition, I don't necessarily believe that alcoholism is a genetic disposition. I do believe that you are a product of your environment, number one.
But it's a disease, right?
It is a disease of the mind. We can all agree on that. And it's a disease of the body. Again, I was a late bloomer. I didn't pick up alcohol until I was 25 years old.
And 30 for me. I was 30. You're 31?
No, I was 21. 21. When I actually got drunk for the first time, I was 21. But I guess that's normal.
Saw my uncle drunk a couple times, but I was never around anyone else in my family.
This is an ongoing sort of debate that people have, right? Is it nature? Is it nurture? Right.
But I think it's important to put out there, though, that alcoholism is a disease, because not a lot of people believe that.
100%. And here's what it comes down to. Right. The question is it nature? Is it nurture? And the truth is nobody knows absolutely for sure. Right. I do know that in order for us to get sober and be comfortable in our own skin, we had to go back into our history to sort out a lot of traumas, right? Yes. A lot of traumas that happened to us with or without our permission, you know?
Yes.
We definitely, like my dad could drink half a glass of beer once a year, right? My mom doesn't drink at all. So I can't sit here and say, I saw my parents drinking. They didn't drink at all. They didn't do drugs at all.
Yeah.
And I can tell you that in my family, 3 of us turned out to be addicts, right? There was a total of 5. 3 of us turned out to be addicts. My sister is not, right? And my other brother who passed away wasn't either, at least actively, right? So I thought I wasn't for a long time because I didn't drink, didn't do any of it. But once I started drinking, I realized how much I loved the effect.
Right.
Right. Yes. I love the effect. I hate, I still to this day hate the taste of alcohol.
So do I.
But I absolutely love the effect.
You know, I was very quiet. Like, I did it more, I think I did it more for social purposes, just to be able to be around people.
Well, it's definitely that. It's a social lubricant for sure.
Social acceptance. And you want to, and it's that, I just want to fit in feeling, even though we're fitting in with the wrong crowd. But in that time, in that mindset, we think we're fitting in with the
but
right.
But it was able, like, I get you guys, I get so much anxiety just going to red carpet still to this day, sober.
Right.
Like, I don't necessarily, so I would drink my, you know, I drink before I would co-host E once in a while. You know, I mean, it would be a constant thing.
And the truth is alcohol breaks down your inhibitions, right? Anxiety comes from feeling very self-aware of a place, right? What do I say? What do I do? But the minute you get a few drinks in you, you're like,
you're fine. You're not thinking. You're not hearing your thoughts. That's when I drink, I'm not hearing my thoughts.
Yeah. You just said it. That's what it does. It quiets that voice that says you're not good enough, and where do I fit in the social ladder?
Instead of loving that person, that little girl or boy inside 100%. You,
it makes
and
you
doing
fearless.
It that way.
Yeah, mm-hmm. But it also makes you stupid.
And look, it'd be awesome. It would have been awesome if you can have one drink. Or if I could have had one drink and feel the effect of that and leave it at that. Unfortunately, me as an alcoholic, it's a progressive disease, and we end up just needing more and more and more until, you know, if we're lucky enough, we get to find a way to stop, and we have, thank God.
Yeah.
You know,
so,
but back to the nature nurture, it's like, for me, it no longer matters. That debate is over for me. I know when I start, I can't stop. I know that 100%. Whether it's nature, whether it's nurture, it doesn't even matter to me anymore. You know, I alcoholism does run in my family, like on my mother's side. All her brothers were alcoholics, and, you know, I don't know what caused that. I know that once I found drugs and alcohol, I felt I was good enough for, you know, while it worked.
I feel you. Yeah. I hear you.
Yeah.
Well, this,
should we go to this last question?
Yeah, because trust me, I've got so many opinions, but I'm going
to this is a continuation to be continued.
But that's what's so great about this show is that you're getting three different perspectives all kind of honing in on the same subject.
And we're actually getting some content.
Yeah, we are. Okay, we have one last question coming in from Katie. This is more of a pre-COVID question. She lives in Green Bay. Go Packs, go. Yes, yes, yes. And it wasn't unusual pre-COVID to see a Green Bay Packer player at the grocery store, movie theater, restaurant, etc. I would say hi in passing, but would never stop them for an autograph or selfie or anything like that. How do you feel about being recognized in public? And is it annoying when people stop you to get a picture or an autograph?
Not if you're nice about it. If you're like, I mean, my thing is when you sneak it in, then I get pissed.
Yeah.
What do you mean by sneak it in?
Like, I'll be at Casa Vega, this is before the pandemic, obviously, at a table with my friends, and we're acting obnoxious or whatever, and you'll see a camera being hidden in between someone's jacket.
Oh, yeah, no, that's totally
that's
uncool.
Rude.
That's different.
Up, and then I've made it very, very public. You know, I will always stop and take a picture.
Yes.
I will always stop and sign an autograph. Doesn't matter what kind of mood I'm in.
You're really good at that, by the way.
I respect our fans greatly because I wouldn't have a job. I wouldn't be able to follow my passion and my dreams without the loving fans. But that said, when I'm eating or when I'm with my family, those two times I would like to be, respectfully left alone. The part that's annoying is when you're eating.
Well, can they come up to you after when you're done eating?
Yes, but what's kind of messed up is if you're eating and they come over and they're like, hey, AJ, can we get a picture? And I'll be like, yes, let me finish eating and then you can, you know, get it. They'll sit there and wait and stare until you put your fork down. And the minute the fork's down, they're like right back in your face with a picture.
That's
kind of hard to eat when someone's staring at you.
And like, you know,
or you could
like,
just take the damn picture.
Yeah, well, that's what I inevitably do now is because I don't want them to sit there and stare. And I also don't want them to wait for me because I'm not going to rush my meal. And I think it's funny now when my kids were younger, they, especially Ava, she hated it when people would stop me because she would get jealous. Like, you know, this is my dad. Like, why are you taking him away from me? Now she wants to be in the picture, which I think is adorable. Like, if they want a picture with just daddy, she's like, dad, can I be in the picture? I'm like, oh yeah.
That's
oh,
so
right.
cute.
AJ, I love that your outlook on your fans. It's absolutely true. And I've always, you know, some of my history, my ex-wife and whatnot, that's the thing for me that meant the most was always the fans. You know, we actually used to call them friends, yeah. like friends and fans. And the truth is, you know, without them, you're absolutely right. You know, who knows what you'd be doing today, yeah. right? So,
no,
and I've been
very true.
I've been around you when fans come up to you, you know, sometimes even on the golf course. Remember that wedding that was happening on the
yep.
golf course?
Yep.
And, you know, AJ, on the turn after 9, we're going to a hole 10, and this whole wedding is right there. Like, all of a sudden, he's doing wedding pictures with the yeah. entire, like, parade.
That's amazing, though, AJ. And by the way, I could tell that you and your boys, you know, you are all just so attainable to your fans. And I think that is very much appreciative on their end. But also, that explains why you have an army, you know? And I yeah. think that is really, 100%. That just says a lot about you and your boys and how you guys are so grateful for your fans, which is very important. And yes, because without them, we wouldn't be here today,
no,
really.
Completely. Yeah. Okay, listen, before we wrap, I just want you, Renee.
Yeah.
Just because, you know, Cheryl kind of mentioned her situation with people sneaking pictures. I talked about mine. Can you please tell Cheryl the London story?
Oh my God.
Because it's because the way you say it is the greatest. This was a moment like that, but the
What was that
noise? Is that Chriselle? Just kidding.
No. I somehow, it says to Cheryl Burke, the London story. Don't send for some
Stay
reason.
Stay tuned.
Yeah, no.
Okay,
please.
So
she has to hear it. It's short and it's fucking amazing.
There's a good chance I'll get a cease and desist from some attorneys, but I'll tell the story because there's nothing wrong with it. Okay, so I just started dating Janet, right, Jackson, and we went to go visit Michael. He was on the Bad Tour over in Europe. And there we are suddenly in this 4-story hotel, and we're with Michael in the presidential suite, and we're playing Uno, right? It's Michael, Janet, Mrs. Jackson, and myself, right? And outside, there's literally thousands of fans just screaming, who do we want? Michael Jackson, when do we want them now? And I look over at them, and it's almost like they don't hear it because, you know, it's a whole different world from they're used to all this, right? And so after like about 45 minutes, they shifted, right? They said, who do we want? Janet Jackson. When do we want her now? And she does nothing. She's just, we're still playing Uno. And I'm like tripping out. I'm like, first of all, I was born in a small town in Mexico. And I'm sitting in this room playing Uno with Michael, Janet, and Mrs. Jackson.
So crazy.
Right? It's just nuts. And then all of a sudden, the Jackson fans are also very, you know, what's the word? Zealous and loyal and yes. everything. Yeah. And they know everything about them and their family, who Janet was dating, blah, blah, blah. So after like 30 minutes, you hear, who do we want, Renai? When do we want him now? And I look at them and I said, hey, you know what? This never happens to me. I'm going to go say hi to them. So I walk over to these double doors up onto the balcony and I look over. I can't believe this is happening. They're calling my name, right? And then I look over the balcony and you hear, Renai, get Michael.
Oh my gosh.
Humbling. So I walk back in. They're laughing. They're laughing.
Hey, Michael, right? That somebody wants you.
Yeah, like yeah. apparently
that
it was.
That is hysterical. I mean, I remember seeing pictures of that, like of all their fans, wherever they would be, just like crowds, like just crowded.
It's crazy. I've experienced that. You've
was that the hotel
crazy.
In Munich?
No, no, this was in London.
Of Michael outside of a hotel in Munich that we always stay at.
No, this was London. Okay, London. Okay.
Speaking of the Jacksons.
I couldn't tell your accent because your accent was so good.
It was
it was good. I know. Speaking of the Jacksons, so I guess before Michael passed away or when the show just started, he was a fan of Dancing with the Stars.
Yeah, oh, I bet.
And Mrs. Jackson came up to me. She goes, "My son was a fan of yours and Derek's, and damn, girl, you look so much heavier on television than you are in person."
Oh my god!
That was my run-in with Mrs. Jackson. Yeah, it was awesome. It was great. Hey, you know what? It was a play. We were doing a tribute to Michael Jackson. That's why they were there.
That's awesome.
That's beautiful. Yeah,
I love that story. Thanks, Renee, for telling that story.
Again, best British accent I have ever heard.
Yeah, really good.
Who do we want, Renee? Sound like you're from Australia.
Was that like Cockney slash? Like,
who do we want, Renee? When do we want him now?
Like, you make me sound like a hooligan.
Well, he's like, okay.
Is it kind of it's like a mixture of Australian and
English? It was
English.
A little hybrid. It was so,
or is New Zealand. Well, we will see you next week on Pretty Messed Up.
We will see you next week. Hopefully, we're still on the show next week as well.
Well, we are, honey bun, because we just got saved. What are you talking about?
No, but I mean like after.
Oh, after the results, after.
After the show.
Well, let's just get through it one step at a time.
Let's just get through tomorrow. How about that?
And you will. You will.
So listen, everybody, thank you guys, everybody out there for tuning in for another week of Pretty Messed Up with Cheryl Burke, Renee Elizondo, and myself, AJ McLean. Thank you guys so much. All of you guys, please hit
thanks
that
to Chriselle again.
Button.
Chriselle. Yes.
Oh,
thanks,
yes. Thank
Chriselle.
Vernon.
Gleb Keogh.
Gleb and Keogh, yep, our extra special guests.
Koi, we heard a lot of Koi, too.
A lot of Koi going on tonight.
Yeah, and, thanks, Koi, for sponsoring. I'm kidding.
Yes, and, you know, if you guys want to, hit that little subscribe button out there. And
subscribe? What?
Give us 5 stars would be great, or give us a star. We're not really.
And sick. Comment. We would love to hear a review. Yeah. Yeah,
okay,
not 8 stars.
Give us 6 stars.
Six stars.
Just keep hitting 5 stars
and
every time.
Keep sending in your questions. That's one of the most fun part of the podcast.
It is, because that's you guys being real with us and us being able to be real back to you. So thank you guys for listening. And we will see you guys you'll hear us next week on iHeartRadio. Pretty Messed Up. Later.
Follow Pretty Messed Up on iHeartRadio or subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts.